Today is marking a shift, a transition in the I want to be very careful. If I pause and if I hesitate, just keep in prayer for me. I could stand here and teach 1,000 things. None of that. I mean, it'll all be good. But I want to follow Him, and you want me to. We're moving into a period now of training like we've not exactly had before, but it's built on the foundation of all that we've had before. Because now He is going to take us by the hand, and I mean individually and collectively, and bring you into the ministry that He's called you to. And what I'm really talking about is His ministry through you, whatever that might be. Jesus said one of the sure signs of the end, and He gave many signs of the end, which we're seeing a lot of: wars and rumors of wars and increase in earthquakes. How about pestilence? Yeah, we're in the, if we're not in the full-blown heart of it, we're in the edge waters of the end times for sure. And He said one of the first things, He said, beware of deception. I have never seen the like of deception in my life, and it seems to be coming in every kind of way that there is. And I thank God for the foundation that Pastor Dave Roberson put on us. Well, that's okay. The foundation that He put us on. How about that? Of how to meditate the Word of God in whole images. And even better than that is how to assimilate the Word of God, so that you equip your spirit for day and night meditation. It's one of the best things I've ever found. Especially then if you combine that with the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit and pray a lot in other tongues and allow the Holy Spirit to communicate the mysteries. This week, you know, nothing happens by accident really if you're seeking the Lord. And I just happened to tune in on the news, a channel I don't normally watch. And they were just interviewing this person. And they were doing a good thing. Now, before I even tell this, how many know James says pure religion and undefiled is to, the way King James says, visit the fatherless, but he's talking about orphans. And the widows in their affliction. In other words, plain English, God, the rest of that verse though, and keep yourself unspotted from the world. Let's don't forget that part. Okay. That's pure religion and undefiled. But now this week on that news channel, I know it was the Lord had me tune in right then. It's a channel I don't even normally watch. I'm talking local news. And they were interviewing I should have written the name down, but it's something like this. It's a man who was here to take care of orphans and widows. I mean, his organization was in Tulsa. They were taking care of orphans and widows. Well, that's good, you know, hallelujah. Then he gave me the name of it. They asked him the name of his organization. I should have written it down, but it's something like this. It's the National Association of Atheists of America. And he said, well, why are you doing this? He said, well, this is just what good humans do. You don't need God to feed the orphans and take care of the widows. And I went, you know, I knew that, but I'd never seen it thrown down like a gauntlet before. See, that's the spirit of Antichrist working through that person. What he's really saying is, you don't need Christ. You don't really have a sin nature. You're really a good person. You don't need to be born. That is as Antichrist as anything I ever heard. Coming across as being a good human. It's deception. It's deception. Somebody sent me two videos this week that I watched, and both of them are very, very deceptive. Both of them claim to be Christians. They may be. It's not my job to judge that. But, you know, you can get off in a ditch on the left. You can get off in a ditch on the right. One of them is very knowledgeable in his education in the Greek and Hebrew language, and he gives a lot of definitions. But if he's going to boil down the message, I endured it as long as I could. I made it about halfway through. If I was going to be on there, I'd have to have a vomit bucket, I think. You know. But as I was listening, I was sure thankful for the foundation I have from Pastor Dave Roberson. Because most people would, they would watch that whole thing and never see it for what it is, I think. When I say most, I don't mean to, does that sound arrogant? I don't mean it to be that way. I'm just saying there's a lot, guys got a lot of followers. If you look on the people that's subscribed, it's like 10,000 or more. But if he's going to boil it all down, God exists to serve you and your earthly desires. Well, that's how I was before. Not really with God, but thinking. I responded back and I said, "This is think and grow rich on steroids." I lived this life before I got saved, and there is power to it. It does work. I lived that way for years, decades. But I said, God does not exist to serve your desires. You exist to serve His desires. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. Not my will, thine be done. Now don't get me wrong, he loves you. He wants you to, he is your father, he is your provider. But that, the way that was presented, if they follow that, I know that path, I've been on that path, you'll spend your whole life trying to get God to meet, to serve you, really. You're not serving him now, he's serving you. It's a perversion. It's deception. It's exactly what the Lord warned us about. Now take one more. And both of these guys may be on their way to heaven. I honestly don't know. I'm not the judge of that. I can't look on their heart. But deception is deception. Now I am going somewhere with this. We're in a transition. You're going to see what I mean. The other video, I've got to mention this one too. Guy, I like the attitude of the guy that better than the first one. He seems sincere. He's not, I don't think he's out after money, you know. I'm not sure about the first one. Anyway. But he's one of these that tells you how to go to heaven several times a day. Yeah. He said, both of those, the reason my friend sent it to me, both of those are perversions of godly hope. Imagination, what you see on the inside. So, good Lord, okay. So I made it about three-fourths of the way through that one. And I was watching it, all of the news that's coming out of Afghanistan right now. Of course, this is August of 2021, and right now there's so many people that are trapped. Christians, Americans, trapped in Afghanistan while the Taliban has regained control. And one of the things that they've said openly, the Taliban, is that they're going to go through the city and any girls 12 years old and up, they're going to force them to become, now the way they word it, they're going to force them to become wives of their soldiers. I would word that a little differently. They're going to force them to become sex slaves to these soldiers. So my heart has just been breaking, not only for them, but for any. I've already read reports of arms being hacked off in front of children, parents being killed, children being killed in front of the Christian parents. It's terrible what's going on. With that kind of atrocity, that's where my heart was. That's what I've been praying about, asking the Lord, just do anything, whatever you have to do, Lord. And we've given some money. We've done whatever we can trying to help. That's what's on my heart. And I'm trying to make it through this video where this guy's teaching me how I can go to heaven. And how you do it is you start off in your imagination and you picture a crystal tree surrounded by this lush grass. And you hear the tinkling of glass leaves what utter nonsense. Foolishness to the 10th power. When God has got real work to be done on planet Earth. And He needs ministers. who are dead to themselves and alive to God, who's been through the fire and purged of all bad things. Truck driver almost came out there. I was raised in construction and truck driving. I have to be careful. We don't have time for foolishness like that. I told you that I recently saw, and it surprised me. See, we've been in this wall of fire now, this season of purging, a little over a year and a half, I think. And I remember when I saw it, there was no getting around it. Right in front of it, it wasn't just me. It's like all of us were together facing this wall of fire. And you could look to the left and right. There's no going around it. There's no way to go under it. It's too high. You can't go over it. And the message was very clear. I didn't hear it, but the message was very clear. There is no going forward from here without going through the fire. Well, about that same time, or actually a little previous to that, the Lord began giving all of these instructions by prophecy through Pastor Bronc Flint, and not just him, but many have come through Jim Martin, have come through others associated with the prayer center here and beyond. But they all had a single theme. Come away with me. Spend time with me. And I will purge you of those things that are not of me. And in a nutshell, is that not it? But I know what I mean. Of course, then, about the same time, really, COVID hit. And all of the things with that, we lost a son-in-law in the process of that, beloved of our family. It's associated with that. We've got others right now that are struggling, fighting. Much of that has been to divert us from remaining in the purging fire and spending that time that he says is required for it. And these past 5 years or so, it might be a little longer, have been amazing for me personally. The Lord had cleaned up our lives a long time ago. Sue and I, we haven't been in the bars, haven't been drinking alcohol, haven't been, thank God he finally got us both out of smoking. All of those flesh type things, you know, a long time ago, really. What I'm saying is that in the natural, we had a pretty clean walk, you know. Then came the First John series. And my walk got a lot narrower after that series. Right after that came God at War, I think is what we called it, God at War. If it hadn't have been for that one, I don't think I'd have ever really understood the Sermon on the Mount. But that finally was the final key that unlocked the final door on the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount, I'm amazed at when I... Don't let me talk, Lord. Please don't let me talk. I yield, Lord. Okay. I'll just say thank God for everybody who has heard and obeyed what Jesus taught in those two series. But it narrowed our walk even more. But see, it's after that, after both of those, that the Lord says, now we're going to go through the purging fire. And part of me goes, haven't I been through the purging fire? Wasn't that what 1 John was about? Wasn't that what Sermon on the Mount was about? I mean, my life has already, it's narrowed so much. Okay. So you know what it's been, and I thank God for the wisdom God gave Tim to open up the church. I feel like crying. I feel like one of the Old Testament prophets today. The burden of the Lord is upon me. His heart is upon me today. But he's tired of seeing, not tired, God doesn't get tired, but he is, maybe it's me that's tired of the powerlessness in the church. Mandaro maga. Mundarekika. As I was weary with Israel and how they refused to repent and return to me, they were worshiping idols. And they had gone so far as to bring the idols, the pagan gods who are not gods, works of men's hands made out of stone and wood, and they brought them into my house. They brought them into the temple to bow down before that which is not God. And they did it in my face. And I did become weary. And I sent prophet after prophet after prophet, for they had not the Holy Ghost as you have, in order to report to them my displeasure, report to them what was coming, report to them the judgment. And my heart was, maybe they will hear my prophet. Maybe they will hear and repent. There were seasons of repentance, but then they'd lapse back into the same again. And finally, judgment could no longer be spared. And I loved my bride, Israel. Yet she gave me no choice. The sin of the church today, my bride, is in some way, in some camps, it is much similar to that. But in this camp, it is unbelief. Those of you that have endured the purging time have walked much more narrowly before me, and I am greatly pleased with that, says the Lord. You should be greatly pleased also, because it has spared you. It has spared you from the kind of judgment that Israel had to endure. But beyond there is a higher walk that I'm calling you to. I'm calling you to the walk of my Son Jesus, to allow Him to live His life through you. For He truly is the vine and you are the branch. But the fruit cannot appear on the vine without the branch. I am calling you now to a satadik. Help me with that word. I'm calling you now to this season of transformation. This season of transformation now. To go from unbelief to belief. For you will believe me. I have more faith in, oh my Lord, really? I have more faith in you than you have in me. You are my hope in the earth. I do believe you will walk in the truth of my gospel. I do believe I have found a group, not only in this building, but I have found a group of people who will believe me and allow my life to flow through you as the branch into this earth, so that those would know me not, cannot rear and say, the church is no better than us. The church is no different than us. So they cannot stand up arrogantly and say, there is no God. They must see the demonstration of the living God through you, says the Lord. Can you tell I'm not okay, but I am okay. I've been doing what I read to you from Bronx Message. It's difficult. It's difficult for anybody. I'm going to read them to you again just in case you've forgotten. Bronk Flint did a message a week or two ago. You can look it up at bronkflint.org, The Transition to Power. And it's talking, the message is about this very thing. How do you go from knowing He wants to heal to allowing Him to heal through you? See, that transition to power, how do you do it? See, that same atheist guy, God loves him. The one that I saw on TV, God's after him. God wants him. He is never going to be convinced by any theological argument. He's not going to be convinced by you reading scripture to him. He's not going to be convinced by even watching you live a holy life. He may live a holy life. I don't know. You know, according to what the world would say. He may lead a pretty clean life. I've known people lead pretty clean lives that aren't saved. Pretty clean. There's none righteous, no, not one, without Christ. Anyway. Stay here. What are you doing when you do that? I'm bowing again on the inside. I have no right to speak to you. Not today. God wants that guy. He wants him saved. He wants his family saved. He wants all in his organization saved. There is no shot with arguments. There is no shot with your logic. There is no shot. But if that man, I guarantee you somebody in his family is sick, maybe blind, maybe with COVID, and all of his good humanness can't do anything about it. But there is one who can do something about it. And that's what he's going to have to see. He's going to have to see the living Christ working through us as the branch. But if the man has a blind child, I have no idea, but if he did or something like that. He said, well, you may be a good human, but I want to talk to you about someone better than a good human. Jesus Christ has risen from the dead and he is Lord of all. If you'll let me pray for your daughter, he'll open her blind eyes right now. That's exactly what we're called to. Now, I believe in orphanages. Thank God. We support more than one. I believe in feeding the poor. We support ministries that do that. We support individuals when God lets us know it's a Lazarus laid at our gate. He told me a long time ago, I'm not going to hold you responsible for every poor person on earth, but I am going to hold you responsible for every Lazarus that I lay at your gate. See, I believe in all of that, and that's good. That's good. Even John the Baptist. What did Jesus say about John the Baptist? Born of women, there has not arisen a greater than John the Baptist. Now, let's stop right there before I go to the rest of it. Does Jesus lie? He does not, does he? Born of women, there has never arisen a greater than John the Baptist. How many miracles did John the Baptist do? Not a single one. But you're saying he's greater than Elijah? You're saying he's greater than Elijah? And what about Moses? What about Abraham? See, I wonder how that sounded to the Jewish mind. What about our father Abraham, you know? But see what Jesus meant. Everybody else, even the prophets of old, the best they could do was tell you Messiah was coming. John the Baptist had the greatest privilege of all. He was the one that said, Messiah is here. Behold, the Lamb of God. That takes away the sin of the world. But then Jesus doesn't stop at that statement. Then he says, but he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than John the Baptist. There's many reasons for that, but the one I'm hearing right now, you have a higher testimony than John. Because the best thing John could do was point to a human vessel and say, there is Christ. But you, as a human vessel, can say, you can put your hand on your own heart and say, here is Christ. What is the gospel? What is the mystery of the gospel? Christ in you. Well, is it really him, or is it religion about him? See, and that, up till now, the about pop at the end. I'll go to tongues if you want me to. But so apparently he wants me to. I'm moving you from knowledge to power, says the Lord. I'm moving you from theory to reality, says the Lord. I'm moving you from an earthly understanding of even divine things to divine understanding of earthly things. You shall enter into my rooms where I shall fellowship with you, and your soul is about to go through a transformation unlike anything you've ever seen before. You're going to start thinking like the Kadamasa. Even your natural mind is going to yield and begin thinking according to the instruction of my spirit, and your mind will bow to my knowledge and stop surrendering to yours. That sounds a lot like something he said to me many years ago in the face-to-face documents, the time that I spent with him. He said, you're about to enter into the Lamb's room of fellowship. He said, even your natural soul is going to become so changed, so it's going to think so differently, because it's going to yield to the knowledge received by the spiritual man. And your natural soul will bow to that and become so different that natural people are going to have a hard time understanding you when you talk. He says, you're going to be asking me to do the opposite of what you're asking me now. He says, now, he's talking really to me as a teacher, you've asked me to elevate your mind so you can speak the mind of Christ. But he says, in those days, in that season, you'll be asking me to de-elevate your mind so you can communicate with man. That's what Jesus had to do with the parables. That's why he had to tell them, I have a lot of things I'd like to tell you. I can't tell you now. Why? They didn't have a spiritual mind in them. They were not yet born again. They didn't have the Spirit which is of God, that they could even understand the things of God. He said, but we do. Oh, and I just thank God again for Pastor Dave Roberson. If there was ever a church on earth, ever a ministry birthed, to teach a people that was hungry for the living Christ, hungry for demonstration, is there a way, on purpose, that I can turn myself over to be taught by God so I can fully understand the inheritance that I've been given by God? See, and that's really Ephesians, I believe it's chapter 1, where he talks about the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you might know the hope of his calling and the greatness of his inheritance to the saints. He has so much more for us than we've ever walked in. You know what the real abundant life is? It's Christ. It is his life manifested through you. That is the abundant life. That is our promised land to be possessed. Even at the Last Supper, I was reading it again. Why were you reading it? John 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John focus on the bread and the wine. And Jesus saying, this is my blood. In the New Testament, this is my body broken for you. Matthew, Mark, and Luke focus on that, but John focuses more on the rest of it, and what's really going on there. Did you notice in John 13 he washed the feet of the disciples? Why? It was Judas, really. He didn't want to point him out and make. He was really, how did Dave put it? He was washing the filth of betrayal off of Judas before Judas ever even did what he did. because Jesus knew. That's called forgiveness. I wonder what it was like when Jesus, bowing down before Judas, seeing Jesus looking right into his eyes, and Jesus is at his feet, washing his feet. And yet he still did what he did. I don't know. Anyway. But see, during that discourse, John brings it out. He says, he brings it out again. The disciple is not above his master. Now, he was telling him, if I've washed your feet, you should wash each other's feet. What's he talking about? Forgiveness. When it comes to betrayal or anything else, forgiveness. You don't think you're above me. If I do it before my test, before my work, before the cross, if it's necessary, I do this. Don't think you're above me. Be sure you forgive. And wash the feet of betrayal, or you're not going to endure your cross. Okay. Oh, I was going to read the six things again. I've been doing this. You know, it's not easy to stop defaulting to your strength. Anyway, back to Bronk Flint's thing here. I don't understand. He gave six things that I really think is good. I've been really working hard to put these into practice in my own life. Sue can tell you. One thing y'all know about Sue, she won't lie, will she? You can ask her if what I'm telling you is true, and she'll tell you, oh yeah, this week has been different. This week has been different. The transition to power, just these are six steps by Bronk. And for the second time, Bronk, I'm giving you credit, but this is it. It's from mine now, from here on. Number one, don't default to your strength. I want to say it a different way. Break the pattern. Around here we talk about the four pillars, and really there's pillars. We call them seven pillars. But you could really combine them into four. For my teaching purpose today, let's picture a table. This is the table, God's table, that we're supposed to serve the world from. You know, Jesus said, what would you have me do for you? In that case, they needed sight. But what if they needed hearing? What if they needed a leg grown out? See, he was able to serve as the master waiter anything off of God's table. So I see this table, it's just for me. But a table normally has four legs. Well, we have these four pillars, four legs, called the Word, prayer, worship, and fasting. There's lots of subheadings you can put in there. Confessing the Word, meditating the Word, assimilating the Word. All different kinds of prayer, all sorts of things. Waiting on God. There's all sorts of things you can put. Let's talk about a table with four legs, because I want to talk about strengths. See, I want that table balanced. I want my life to be balanced. I want it to be level. It's really hard to serve off a table with two long legs and two short legs. It's just an analogy. Well, in my life, the long legs are prayer and the Word. I can pray. It's easy for me. I cut my teeth praying in those trucks, and I can still pray 10, 15 hours at a time. It's no brag. It just is what it is. That's easy for Gary. Might be hard for you, but maybe you can fast. See, and fasting is hard for Gary. Okay? My strength is the Word and praying in tongues, to be honest with you. That's my strength. That's what I default to all the time. Even in worship, I have to be... Well, I mean, while the worship's going on, I'll catch myself praying in tongues. And I'll go, stop it. Pray in tongues when it's time for prayer. So what I'm doing this week, especially, well, ever since I heard this message, when I catch myself all the time defaulting to my strength. And it's not wrong to be in the Word. It's not wrong to pray. On Wednesdays, Fridays, Saturdays, come to prayer and pray. But what about worship? So at home, I've been shut the TV off. Worship. Sometimes with music, to be honest with you, I can tell that the driest time and at the same time the most productive time, is when I shut the music off and I do just what Pastor Dave said. I love you. I love you. I worship you. I love you. Dry as cracker juice, as Dave would say. I love you. I worship you. Yet we have, and it's not wrong to put on music. I do once in a while. Not most of the time, not. But see, we have a promise. We have over and over again in the blueprint and the subsequent prophecies that have come through, mainly through Pastor Bronk, we have promise after promise after promise, time and again, time and again. He says, if you will come away with me, if you will spend time with me, and it's not just worship, it's everything, the word, prayer, worship, fasting. But if you'll spend time with me, the promise was, my presence will come. And it will come so strong, you'll hardly be able to stand in the house of God. Give us some of that. Give us some of that. And he also said, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John will be restored to my church. Now that's where the blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, the maimed are made whole. See that atheist guy, I've got him on my heart. I'm after him because God's after him. I want that guy. That guy's probably a preacher and doesn't know it. He needs to see the living Christ. And we need to show him and the whole world the living Christ. The resurrected one who's sitting at the right hand of God and the one who lives in you. See, in this deception, I'm just going to keep following him best I know how. See, that going back to that deception is a perversion of that truth that the kingdom of God is in you. Because the way he perverted it, I saw a video and this guy was perverting that very truth. He says, yeah, the kingdom is in you. It's all about you. So God exists. He exists for the express purpose of fulfilling all your desires. So it's all about, you know, your life, houses, cars, fame, fortune. God exists. But he started off with that very verse, the kingdom of God is within you. See, he says, see, it's all within you. It's all about you. Just see that perversion? See that twist? What's sad, there was a time I would have fallen for it. And many are falling for it now. He has a lot of followers. What is the purpose of that kind of thing? Keep you away from power. Keep you away from the true gospel. Keep you away from showing that atheist guy the living Christ. Six steps, not one. Yes, sir. All right, I'm going to go through these quickly. Don't default to your strength. Now, that doesn't mean don't ever use your strength. I still pray in tongues a lot. Saturday, all day I was here. Okay? That's fine. But don't default to it all the time. Do what's hard. For me, fasting is hard. Maybe it's not. I'm trying not to make eye contact, but for me, fasting is hard. I don't like it. I don't like it even one little bit. I don't like even missing breakfast, okay? Much less fasting. You know, I've met people that say it's real easy for them. There's people in this room that do several 40-day water fasts a year right now. In this room. And I don't slap them or anything when they tell me that. You know? To me, that's a great manifestation of the love of God. I love them dearly and they know it. But it's hard for me. I'm doing every kind you can think of. I'm doing, you know, what, just a one-day water fast sometimes, 1, 2, 3 days sometimes. Sometimes just an 18-hour, sometimes a 24-hour. But the idea slapped the flesh right in the face. You don't get what you want. Shut up. Because that same place in you where that hunger, where you feel that, I'm finding out, is that same place in you that wants to do every other kind of sin. Addiction is addiction. Okay, that's coming. Number two, ask him. This is based on Luke 11, exactly what Jesus taught in Luke 11. Lord, teach us to pray. So he gave him, He gave them the Lord's Prayer, but then he gave them some additional. And he's talking about the bread of heaven. Isn't that what we're talking about? Serving the bread of heaven off of God's table, right? Lord, so he says, yes, here's the Lord's Prayer. But then he said, if you don't have the bread that you need to give somebody, say, all right, let's get real. My friend Homer Betancourt, who lives in Florida right now, is blind. Dave's prayed. Now, Dave prayed for him once, and he got his sight back. But within a year or so, it left again. And then Dave prayed, and it didn't come back. I don't have answers for you. I'm just telling history. Well, Bronx prayed for him. I've prayed for him. Probably everybody in the church and half the town is about to rub Homer's hair off his head, laying hands on him, you know. But as of right now, we don't have, nobody that I know of is able to serve the bread to Homer. I could bring our box, our prayer box up here. Some people haven't seen it, maybe. I'm proud of our church that we don't hide our failures. These are people we've prayed for that have not yet received their miracle. Like Victoria. This is her a long time ago here. She's born with a partial brain. Now that's a little more, in our minds, that's a little more difficult than a head cold. But how many think if we could get Victoria into the hands of Jesus, she'd have a full brain? I don't have a problem with that. Where the problem is believing he'll do it through you or do it through me. And that's what he talked about earlier in that prophecy. And he called it sin. I don't know if you caught that. He called it the sin of unbelief. See, at this point, hopefully we're not still dealing with fornication. You know, hopefully you're not still dealing with fornication and adultery and being a thief and drugs. And hopefully you're beyond that. If not, get beyond it. Get. Sin shall not have dominion over you. There's so much help for you at DaveRoberson.org. Sin doesn't have it the right. Anyway, that's not the message. But at this point, it's unbelief is what he's talking about. And he's bringing us from a state of not believing to believing. So anyway, I'm talking about these kind of cases where there's nowhere on earth that I know of that we can take Victoria. I told somebody again this week, if there was a ministry anywhere on earth where they, on a regular basis, prayed for children that received a brain when they prayed, I am not proud. I will go and study under them. I'll give them money. I'll study. I'll be the best student they ever had till I can do that too. But I don't know anywhere. You don't either. That's why God called us. It's why he called you. If you're hooked up with this vision, thank God for feeding the poor. Thank God for taking care of orphans. Thank God for taking care of widows. We're all about that. But that's just, it's a big body. He's got people doing that. He's calling somebody to believe the gospel. In demonstration of the Spirit and in power, not in word only. And that's the only hope that I see for that atheist guy. God wants him. I want him. I want him preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. It'll never happen without him seeing a demonstration of power. So every time I catch myself just defaulting to my strength, I have to stop that. I'm every day now, every day, I'm going through these every day myself. I'm asking him, like Luke 11, he said, ask, seek, knock. Why do you knock on a door? So the door will open. Why? So you can go in. Why? So you can fellowship with who's in there. He's talking about spending time with God. You spend time with the Father, you're going to come out with the bread. Good preaching right there. Well, that's the blueprint. That's what he said over and over and over again. Spend time with me. Come away with me. Spend that time with me. And Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John will be restored in the earth. Glory to God. Item 1, don't default to your strength. Item 2, ask him for visitations and times of his presence. Ask for the bread from heaven to deliver to the world. He said, he that asks receives. He that knocks, the door is open. He that seeks finds. Number 3, make Jesus and the Holy Spirit real. This goes all the way back again. And I remember 20 years ago when the Holy Spirit said to me, Gary, the number one most important thing in your life is believing that I am always with you. make Jesus and the Holy Spirit real. Talk to them. Acknowledge them both. It's really the Holy Spirit is the one we're talking to, but He brings you the mind of Christ. Okay, Kim. All right, number four. Use hope. And I'm not talking about visualizing shiny trees in heaven. Talking about get your hope from the Word of God. Jesus is your hope. Christ in you is the hope of glory. That's the image you're supposed to see. Christ in you. Use godly hope. When you lay hands on the sick, He's laying His hand on the sick because your hand is His hand. He's the vine, you're the branch. But the fruit appears on the branch. Preaching to Gary as much as I am to you, you know that, right? Homer Betancourt is about to get his sight back. And that's just the beginning of many things. I believe Victoria is going to walk up here, speak in English, give her testimony about the day she received her brain. Tommy Perez, we're going to fly him from New York. And he'll walk up here under his own power, not in a wheelchair, and be able to tell the day he received his miracle. And God got him out of that wheelchair. That's the gospel. And Jesus wants to be believed. Number three, make Jesus and the Holy Spirit feel. Make Jesus and the Holy Spirit real. Number four, use hope. Now, Bronk uses it this way. When he's in his times of worship, he imagines Jesus sitting on the couch right across from him. It's about 6 foot away. A friend of ours in Florida said, now, is that 6 foot away? Is that because of COVID? I'm sorry. I thought it was wonderful. I said, that's quick. That's sharp. I like that. No, that's just where his couch is. It's about 6 foot away. And at first it seemed really pretend, it seemed really awkward, you know, okay, well, I've gone off the deep end now, I'm seeing Jesus, you know, sitting on my couch. But he says over time, it has become so real. If he's getting ready for his morning time of fellowship with the Lord, he walks in, if there's a sweater on the couch where Jesus sits, without even thinking, he moves that sweater so Jesus can sit there, you know. Said, if you walk in during that and you're about to sit there, don't sit on him. What's going on there? It's just becoming real. I mean, he knows Jesus is not sitting there. But see, what's going on? There's a reality shift. There's a shift in your reality that he's really there. Okay. Number five, don't force anything. And I think that's where a lot of ditches come from, left and right, trying to force something. Number six, realize the reality of the Holy Spirit living in your physical body. I'm going to look it up again. That's 1 Corinthians 6:19. And this is so, if we ever really get this, I honestly believe our own times of sickness are over. And I believe anybody we come in contact with that's sick, their days of sickness are over. If we ever really get this. And what's amazing, let me read the verse first. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Another way, both of them belong to God. Now, we read that, we've preached that, I've preached that, but if the reality, see, is the Holy Spirit God? Is the Holy Spirit God as much as God the Father is God? Remember how Dave would teach us? If we could see all three of them, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, if we could see all three, and they'd be standing facing each other, They would be breastplate to breastplate, nose to nose. It's not like God the Father below him, God the Son below him, God the Holy Spirit. No. They're all three tri-equal. They're all three God. God the Holy Spirit is as much God as God the Father. And he's in you. The one that manifested light. The one that when God spoke, he did everything, even in creation. And he is in you. And I'm not talking in your spirit. It doesn't say he's just in your spirit. It says he's in your body. And he's the one that he's the bread manifester. Because when in Luke 11 again, when Jesus, we've gone in after the bread, but what you come out with is really, he says, you come out with the Holy Spirit. Why? Because he's the manifester of the bread. And he lives in you. Alan, when that day comes, for Gary, I'll be standing up straight as a string. COVID will fear me. I won't fear COVID. When it really hits on Alan, and Alan's walking through it like I'm walking through it, every symptom of that damnable thing that attacked him will leave. He'll walk straight as a string. Homer Betancourt's sight will be restored. Victoria will get her brain. Tommy Perez will come out of that wheelchair. That atheist guy will see the living Christ. And he will say, like everybody else, how did Dave say it? The finest minds will evaluate and say, your God must be God. And they'll hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and be saved. So let me just say, we're coming. This is a transition day. The teaching that's coming now there's a shift. I can feel it. I can feel it better than I can say it. It's going to be speaking more from heaven down than from earth up. I don't know if it makes any sense to you. It does to me. It's really instruction from the mind of Christ that our mind has to bow to if we're ever going to walk in this. Right now, I'm going to finish with this. I see it again. He's not doing it again, but I remember the day I was just preaching like I am now, and I had my Bible, I think, open about there or something like that. And right in the middle of my message, the Lord, like it's his service or something, he just walks through the wall, right at about halfway in between those two speakers over there, just walked through the wall, walked right over here, stood right here, put his finger on the Bible, on the Word, and said, I want to be believed. We're entering that season now. We'll see you in 30 minutes.